So what do you like about reading, Andrew?
I like how books aren't just for reading. They're also doorways to secret passages.
Oh.
And a place to hide your flask.
Interesting. I didn't know where you were going with that one. I thought you were going to say it's nice to prop up furniture with it. I don't.
Sometimes you can put both together and have it be a doorway to a room filled with books filled with flasks.
I don't even know where that one...
Oh, everybody, welcome to the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast. Today's podcast is titled, I Just Don't Even Know.
It's because Andrew has been gone.
I've been gone for a long time, and I'm not sure you recognized me when I came home.
No.
I looked like Tom Hanks at the end of Castaway.
You did, with a beard and a sunburn.
And the smell of salt.
Yeah, it wasn't
good. You smell like you were brined. Why, yes, I was. Well, this is the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast, the podcast where we take a look at what's too hot, what's too cold, and what's just right with a self-published work. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal.
Crystal, what did we continue to read this week?
We read, a couple of weeks ago now,
okay,
book 3 in the Penryn End of Days series by Susan E., and the book is called End of Days.
That's a catchy title.
It is.
And why don't you catch us up to speed with where we are in book 3?
Book 3, we're sort of at the, well, what is supposed to be the end point of Penryn's story. She's sort of defeated some of the bad guys in the previous book, and now we're moving forward. And the intention is to sort of wrap everything up that's already happened in the series so far.
Now, you say intention is. What do you mean by that?
Well, it leads into my too cold. I don't know if we want to start there.
Do we just want to go ahead and get started?
Yes, we do.
And what did you find was too cold, Crystal?
I found that there were a lot of pieces that were missing.
What do you mean by that?
Let's just go ahead and say right now that this particular podcast is going to include a lot of spoilers, because I don't think I can really explain a lot of my points without explaining bits of the plot.
Okay.
So, and even then it's going to sound really nice and confusing. So Penryn is trying to get help for Raffi, her love interest, the angel Raphael, basically. They're trying to get help. And in order to get help, they actually have to use a sword to go through another angel, and that will bring them back in time to hell, where they can gather up the angels who were sent there for marrying their wives, which were human women, and angels and humans are not supposed to marry.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, a bunch of stuff happens in hell. It's all exciting, fantastic. And when we come back, Penryn basically wakes up in the back of a truck, and that scene in itself feels very, very disjointed, in that we've missed a huge chunk of time.
Okay.
And we don't know what's happened.
Interesting.
A little later on, we get a lot of exposition or a description of basically what happened. And it felt like a big chunk of the story was missing that the author just decided not to write, should have written.
Now, as an author, how do you make that decision? Because sometimes there are things better left unsaid, and then sometimes you really have to kind of drill it. I mean, what I heard is kind of two different sides of the coin there is, we skipped over some stuff, and then you talk too much about it, right? Like, where's kind of that medium, and how do you get there?
I think it's the way that in which it was skipped. So they basically enter this angel, and he's in a cage. So they are moved because the explanation is that when they come back out, there wouldn't have been enough room in the cage for all of those bodies without them getting squashed. But then her mother shows up and her sister shows up out of nowhere, basically.
And these are the ones who essentially kicked off the story in book one.
In book one, yeah. So her sister and her mother, they were together, but they sort of appear and start burning down the place and start causing, you know, a lot of trouble for the angels who are there. And they are the ones who move all the bodies into a truck and then to start driving. The way it was written really felt like, or made the story feel like it was rushed, because you're cutting out all that action. You're cutting out the tension that that situation would create.
Even just to listen to you describe it makes it feel very choppy when characters suddenly appear and do weird things.
Yeah, it's almost like a ghost army.
There's no ghost armies here.
But without having the actual ghost army. Ghost army. But I think that's just sort of one instance where the book as a whole sort of felt, and I'm sure this wasn't her intention. I don't think any author who writes a book intends to make it, write it in the way that I'm going to describe it, but it feels rushed. It feels like she didn't want to write these scenes or didn't have time to write these scenes. And, you know, even with the ending, actually, it really felt like in two sentences, the problem or the reason why the love interests couldn't get together was suddenly solved. And in an epilogue, everything was fine and beautiful. And I think she created a really complex world, which was wonderful and fantastic, but she didn't give her enough.
Really good job world building.
Fantastic job, but she didn't give herself enough time to really explain it to the reader.
Ooh.
And so, you know, when I saw that this book was actually around the same lengths as the first two, it immediately kind of
the Harry Potter effect, where everything's, you know, 60% bigger.
It wasn't the series, and that's what sort of made me think, okay, this will be interesting to see if. Because I didn't know how she was going to explain everything in that limited time. And
when Paramount options her book, how are they going to make movie 3 into two movies?
They're going to do what they did with The Hobbit.
End of Days Part 1, End of Days Part 2.
They're going to do what they did with The Hobbit and add some storylines.
Speaking about not planning things, I don't know if you have a second one. Do you have another Too Cold?
No, that was my main Too Cold.
What was too hot then? What was there just too much of?
I enjoyed the fact that this book had a lot more of the relationship, where one of my critiques of the second book was that I really wanted Penryn and Raffi to be together, and we discussed, you know, the benefits of having the love characters be separated, because it creates more tension and you want to see them back together.
Yeah.
So I was happy that this book had those two characters together, because I think they're written very well and they have a lot of, you know, they work well together in scenes, but there were some instances where I felt they could have saved the making out to a later point when they weren't being hunted.
Are you complaining about the amount of romance in essentially a woman-focused young adult novel?
I'm not. Well, here's my example.
I'll answer the question.
Andrew.
Are you?
Andrew.
Okay.
If you...
Complaining about...
Focus. If you were in hell...
Yes.
And you were tasked with doing something that would help you get out...
Okay.
And you'd just been chased by a hell demon himself...
You're describing my connecting flight. Go on.
Would you then leave your team to go and do the work while you picked up your human teenage love and fly over a quicksand of bodies that are sort of dying and reaching for you? And would you make out at this point in the story?
This is exactly like my connection through Atlanta.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
We're
treating this in a very glib fashion, and that's not really fair to the story the writer.
Not fair to the story, but I mean, we talked about how the mom and the daughter were kind of the driver behind book one. The relationship between Penryn and Raffi became the driver in the later books, and if you don't do justice by that, especially that when you do finally deliver, you deliver in that kind of a way.
Yeah, and you bring up an excellent point, because I did feel like in this book as well that the mother and the sister really took a back seat to the love story. And I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. As long as you, yeah. you know, it's the physiological needs of if you are in hell, you're running for your life. You're probably not going to want to think about making out with your love interest.
Yeah.
That sort of situation. And it brings back my too cold point in that I didn't get enough of the mother and sister relationship. They just seemed there to move the plot along in order to get to the final scenes.
Now, that's tough, though, because, like, at the same time, if you write a trilogy, you have to assume that book three, even though it's supposed to have a beginning, a middle, and an end itself, is essentially the third act.
Right.
Which means you have to deliver on a couple of promises. Promise number one, we need to get these two together. Promise number two, and we need to fix up this messed up world that's essentially caused all the conflict. Like, sometimes those two things don't work together.
And I think that's also a really good and interesting point, because as someone who is working on their second novel and does plan to write more, the importance of tying up as many loose ends as possible.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, in some cases, leaving things open.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, and it does potentially lead into a fourth, fifth, whatever number of books. But you have to give enough so that the reader is satisfied in and completely understands every single point that you've been trying to make and every single thread that you've been trying to make.
Yeah.
Because in reality, a trilogy or a book that is a series length, it's basically one big fat book.
Before we get into the just right, I want to explore that point, the obsession with tying everything together. No loose ends. There's no loose ends. I'm okay with loose ends. How do you feel about loose ends?
I'm okay with them as well. But I think if there's been something that has been introduced that, you know, is sort of a big deal, I want to fully understand it.
Do you, though? Like,
well, I mean, for example, in this book, there again, angels can't marry humans. It goes against laws. And, you know, you don't fully understand how Raphael and Penryn can be together at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's suddenly, the rules just suddenly switch. Spoiler alert, he gives up his wings, so I guess that works out, but he basically, you know, in the span of what feels like 30 seconds, he's just completely abandoned everything that he's been saying, you know, throughout the three books. There was no lead up to that. So that's not really tying up.
Yeah, that's not really tying up a loose end. That's a character shift. By loose end, I mean explaining the whole rationale behind why they were punished. You don't necessarily need to
why did the angels...
Yeah,
I like that there was never an explanation.
This whole... I feel like we now have to write everything, books included, books especially, that have to survive the blogger who's going to review the book and complain about all the tight ends, the reviewer who's going to review on the blog in the comments section what the blogger wrote, and then the person who's going to comment on what the reviewer wrote on the blog. Like, we're going too deep with this analysis. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's bulletproof. We don't have explanations for everything.
Agreed. But I think when you finish a novel and there's still too many questions, there's too many questions in your mind to feel satisfied,
yeah,
then there's not enough loose ends that are tied up. I agree. I don't think everything should be explained, but it's, again, it's reader satisfaction. It's the, when you finish it, do you feel like, when you finish a piece of cake, are you like, oh my God, I ate too much cake and I'm going to throw up?
How did you know?
Or are you like, or I didn't get enough cake. That was a really small piece. Or, man, that was awesome cake. I could have some more, but you know what? That was perfect.
What did she get just right?
I think she stayed really true to who Penryn is as a character.
That's kind of been the overarching theme, is the consistency and the likability and the durability. Is that the right word?
Character? Of her. Like, just, I think she really knows who Penryn is, and, you know, from the very first page of the very first book till the end, I thought that, you know, aside from my too hot and too cold, and, you know, where there were places where I thought there could have been more and so on, I did think that it was a good and fine finish to the series.
Yeah.
I still read it really quickly and finished it really quickly because I really wanted to know what happened. Another spoiler alert, which I've sort of read about in other reviews, a lot of people hated at the end. They're basically trying to draw the angels to this one spot so that they can have a final battle and just end it, because the angels are not going to go away. And the angels are also, for sport, to decide who's going to be the next messenger, are going to see who can kill, which team can kill the most humans, then wins the position.
Okay.
So Penryn decides that they were going to have a talent show. They're going to still have the talent show.
Okay.
And a lot of people complain that this was really stupid, that it didn't make a lot of sense. They just wanted to see a final war battle fight scene. I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't have a problem with it. I actually thought it was quite beautiful. She had a reference to, there was a ballet dance group who lost people in their troupe. And so they did a ballet, but without the people, like the people who were missing or dead.
Like a missing man formation.
Right. Yeah. So they danced the dance as if everyone was there. And I thought that was a really moving way to just, I got emotional. I felt the impact of the angels on humans. And then after that, it was basically to draw the angels, and then they started fighting. So I had no problem with that final scene. It was just the way everything was wrapped up. We spent a lot of time on the talent show, some time on the battle, and then suddenly everything was just done.
Who do you recommend reads this book?
Same audience as the other two.
Shocking.
Shockingly enough. It didn't dramatically turn to, men over the age of 80.
The series doesn't change over time?
No, it doesn't. It stays very true to who it's aimed at and who it's for.
Well, everybody, that was End of Days, which is book 3 in the Penryn and End of Days series. Easy, because it's the same words in there twice.
It's true.
By Susan E. Where did you find this book, Crystal?
I got this book on Amazon. So all 3 are on Amazon, and I highly recommend that you pick them up and give them a read.
I hope there's a bundle that they can pick them up.
Probably. Well. I wouldn't be surprised.
Don't buy one when you can buy 3.
Yes.
It's a Costco mentality.
It is. Buy everything in bulk.
Exactly. And where can you find us?
We are on Facebook, Everything's Temporary. Twitter, Everything's at Everything's Temp. www.everythingstemporary.com. iTunes, Goldilocks, and the 3 Cares.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about it.
That about does it for us, doesn't it?
Yes.
This was a jumbo, spoiler-filled edition, wasn't there?
It was. So I caution all of y'all. All of y'all? I don't know.
It's the Atlanta joke. It's got you thinking south.
Yeah.
Everybody, that was the Goldilocks and the 3 Cares podcast for this week. We are back.
We are.
And we're going to be every 2 weeks from now on until I travel through Atlanta again. if you like what you heard, subscribe. Tell a friend, tweet at us, tweet at your friends, tweet at us at your friends.
Tweet randomly.
I don't know how Twitter works.
Apparently not.
Make the Twitter machine. Make it go. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal. Until next time, keep reading.
So this is some kind of a milestone, Crystal, because this is the first time where I have to go back and I have to edit out a swear.
I know. I'm embarrassed for both of us. You should have seen your face.
It was total deer in a headlights look where I just let it slip out and I was like, no.